thank and praise God, because the Bible declares that when the praises go up, that the blessings come down. And if you can just praise your way through, a lot of the situations that we go through wouldn't be as bad. If we could just lift up the name of Jesus when trouble comes, if we can just praise him when things go bad, or when you get a bad report from the doctor, or something tragic like that, when somebody dies in our family, if we could just look to the hills from whence cometh our, it won't seem as bad. And so we thank God for worship, the true worshipers. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity. We pray for pastor and co-pastor. Something else happened on top of the loss of their family member, and they are staying another day. But praise be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Amen. One of the relatives or something, I believe, had an accident, and they're just going to stay and make sure that that situation is all right. So we just want to pray for them. Amen. That all is well. This too shall pass. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you. I give you glory and honor. Lord, right now it's not about me, but it's all about you. It's all about lifting up the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would remove me, God, and that you would allow your Holy Spirit to preach this message, God, in the name of Jesus, that no one would actually see me, but that all that would happen would that they would hear you. And so we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. And let the people of God say amen. Amen. In fact, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, y'all ain't saying it right. You got to say so. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Let me start by saying that I am, I look at Scripture now with eyes that I've never saw Scripture before. I see things that are, they're there, but sometimes the average person won't see them. I am an optimist, and I like to think of the good things in everything, in every situation. There is a silver lining in all situations, and so I'm kind of quirky that way, that I'm starting to see Scripture in a different way. And I thank God for it. Amen. I thank God that it's not the traditional way in my sight or in my mind that things happen. And so when I looked at the Scripture today, I thought of something and I said, well, I don't know. But then the Lord said, it's okay. And so I went on with it. There are, how many, this is young adult Sunday. How many young adults like rap music, by the show of hands? Amen. It's okay to raise your hand in church if you like rap music, okay? Amen. I like some rap music. Amen. Y'all ain't gonna raise your hand because you don't want your mom and daddy to know that while they upstairs, you downstairs getting it in. Yeah, I know. I know. For me, there are a lot of rap songs. I don't particularly like rap. When rap first came out, it was hip hop, the heavy hip hip hop. It don't stop rocking to the bang bang boogie. Rah! Y'all don't know. Y'all better ask somebody. Yeah, y'all with me? These are the bricks, ain't it? Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. Curtis Blow's Christmas rap and all of that.
I was Sugar Hill Gang, and Rakim said I used to let the mic smoke, but now I slam it on the floor and make sure it's broke. Yeah, yeah. But I thank God for the brothers that rap, because oftentimes they say things that are so profound and they don't even get it. I see things and I hear things differently because some of the lyrics in the rap music back then, they were on point and they meant something. KRS-One and what the ugly boy name is, the group he had. That boy. His name is Ugly Flavor, but Public Enemy. Now, they had positive messages in their rap. And so I draw from that and I take things like that over, so to speak, into the ministry, my ministry, because things like that can be a powerful ministry tool. And when God saved me, He did not take my personality away from me. He just redirected it into a different direction. And so when I choose titles for sermons, it's kind of throwed off to somebody who is of the traditional way of accepting God and church stuff in the tradition. But how many of you know tradition will kill you? Amen. Tradition, following a tradition. Some churches you can walk in, you can set your watch to what happens in the program. Amen. There is no room for the Holy Ghost in, not here, but amen. So I want to preach to you from the subject, started from the bottom. Now we up. Come on, y'all, say amen. We started from the bottom. Now we up. Not up. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying. We started from the bottom, now we up. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we up. Y'all looking at me like I done lost my mind. But I'm gonna show you. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Amen. We just read the scripture. You all know the story about Joseph. Amen. Joseph was a 17-year-old, smart aleck, little kid brother that just needled his older brothers. Amen, somebody. If you had a little brother, I was the little brother. So I know what I'm talking about. Amen. But Joseph started off in chapter 37 of Genesis, when it talked about Joseph's dreams of greatness. Amen. Joseph had these dreams and he was telling his brothers and his mother and father, and you all know the story. Joseph said about the dreams of the sheaves, and their sheaves bowed down to him and all of this stuff. And then his mother and father, and they were like, "Are you serious, Joey? You actually think this thing is going to happen?" So, you know, it went on, and his father sent him out there to where his brothers was tending to the flock. And so Joseph went out there to where his brothers was tending to the flock, and he said, you know, they were like, "Would you come out here to spy on us? You come out here to snitch on us again, Joey? You know, you need to carry your little self on back onto the house, because we're going to tear you out the frame, Joey. You coming out here spying on us, go and tell Daddy, I'm going to tear you up soon. Keep it up here." And so in verse 21 is where we have our scripture. It said, "But Reuben heard him, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Listen, we ain't going to kill Joey. But we got to get rid of homeboy. He's doing too much, as my daughter says. He's just doing too much.
Pray for me and my daughter. Amen.
But Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into a pit."
Somebody need to hear that.
"Cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So now it came to pass, verse 23 says, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic and the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. 2013 translation, they tore his butt up and threw him in a hole. Say amen, somebody. See, because Joseph had all of this stuff going on, and he was just doing it way big, and they didn't like that, so they beat him up, took all his clothes off, and threw him in the hole. Now, here's where one thing that I've heard over and over again about the story about how he got in the hole. There are a lot of preachers that ascribe to the fact that Reuben saved his life by putting him in a hole. But as I read the scripture, I'm saying to myself, okay, now the scripture says that the hole was empty and there was no water in it. If I throw you in a hole and it's empty, you don't have any clothes on because they stripped him of his tunic, or just at least a coat. He might have had his undergarments on. You understand what I'm saying? And there was no water in it. Chances are, if nobody finds you, you are going to die. So my thing is, as I look at the scripture, Reuben did not save his life. But as, Lord have mercy, but as you read on in verse 26, well, let's read verse 25. It says, "And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balms, and myrrh on their way to carry them to Egypt." Now, the scripture says in 26, So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Now, here's where I say Reuben did not save his life, but that Judah saved his life. For me, Judah in the Hebrew means praise. And so now, here's what happened. A praise saved his life. Oh, come on, somebody. That's good right there. Judah saved his life. Judah in the Hebrew means praise. A praise saved his life. Sometimes when you're going through stuff and all kinds of hell breaks loose in your life, if you can just manage to praise your way through, it will, Lord have mercy, Jesus. A praise can save your life. Somebody might not know tonight, this morning, but that praise is what you should do. Praise will save your life. Not your mother, not your father, but a praise. Lord have mercy. We started from the bottom. Now we're up. So then it goes on and it talks about how Reuben returned to the pit and Joseph wasn't in the pit. Reuben loses his mind because he wasn't there, and all of this stuff goes on. And now they go, it talks about Judah and Tamar in verse chapter 38. And then it goes to chapter 39, Joseph and a slave Joseph being a slave in Egypt. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there, and the Lord was with Joseph.
That's what the scripture says, that the Lord was with Joseph. How many of you know that the Lord is always with you? He said in his word that he would never leave you nor forsake you. So even if you're in a foreign land, even if you're in a strange land, God is always with you. The Bible says if you submit to him, Lord have mercy, that the devil will flee from you. So Joseph found favor in the sight of the Lord, and he was a successful man. He started from the bottom. Now he's up. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. See, that's the thing about consistency. Thank you, Lord. That's the thing about consistency. If you are consistent in what you do, if you are consistent in who you believe in, it does not matter the situation that you're in, because folks will begin to realize and recognize who you are just because of your consistency. Somebody ought to hear that today. Don't give up. Don't waver. Don't fall by the wayside. Just stay steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your living will not be, it won't be in vain. You need to keep on keeping on, no matter what happens, no matter what the situation is. You've got to keep on. And somebody, Lord have mercy, somebody will look at you and say, you know something, there's something a little different about him. There's something that's a little different about her. We ought to rethink what we're doing to that person. You know, the Bible does say, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You understand that there will be consequences and repercussions for messing with one of God's own. You understand what I'm saying? You can't bother. You, Lord have mercy. Somebody need to hear me today. If you belong to Jesus, somebody ought to recognize that you just can't do it and get away with it. Lord have mercy. You can't touch me because I am anointed. I am God's creation. I am God's child. Take your hands off. That's what we ought to be saying. We ought to be saying, we ought to be saying, get your hands off of me, Satan. You can't have me no more. You can't have my family no more. I started from the bottom, but now I'm up. Yeah. Now check this out. Verse 6. Says that thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. This is Potiphar. And he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. For you young ladies, he was tall and fine. Well, let me check that. He was tall and fine. Y'all know how y'all say it. Amen. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife. Now, here we go. How many of you know that when you start from the bottom, God can raise you up? But even in your risen state, there are haters. Folk don't like it when you blessed like that. Matter of fact, Satan don't like it when you blessed like that. So even when you're blessed, Satan can come and just peek his ugly head around the corner and trip you up again. And here come this Potiphar. Joey, how you doing? You know, Potty out in the backyard. She got on her Victorias, don't tell nobody about it. You know what I mean? And she's standing there, Joey. And she looking at him. Listen, I was coming around one of them streets around my way, and I saw this lady coming down the street. She had a little SUV, and on her headlights, she had these eyelashes that was this big. And it looked like they were doing them. And it says right here, she casted longing eyes on Joseph. and said, Joey,
you know you want me. Joey, you come on, potty in the back.
Folks will try to trip you up. Even when they know who you are. Even when they know what you stand for. Even when they know where you go every Wednesday night. Even though they know you're a preacher. Even though they know you have a wedding ring on your finger. There are those, Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, young people, beware. Stay true to who you are. Don't let nobody knock you off your square. Because let me tell you something, young ladies, these young men don't want nothing but one thing. And that is not your Skittles. It might be your candy, but they don't want your Skittles. I'm telling the truth today. Brothers, let me tell you something. You know what? You know what? It's on the other side of that coin, too, because brothers that are out here, the young brothers that are out here in school earning good grades on sports teams, they have a chance to do some good things in sports, basketball. These young ladies know. They smell money. And they will give you some just so that they can get pregnant. See, I'm going to tell the truth today. And they will trip you up. I know. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I didn't need to go there, but Lord, there it is. There it is. You see, Miss Potiphar, she knew that Joseph was the man. She knew that Joseph was right under her husband. She knew that her husband didn't even know what he had unless Joseph told him. And she knew that. And here she is, want to trip Joseph up. Joey. And the Bible doesn't give a description about her. The Bible does give a description about Joseph. Joseph was like 6'5", 250, you know what I'm saying, chiseled. Fine, model kind of GQ, Calvin Klein kind of guy. You know she had to have it going on because she was married to the head man in charge. So now here she is trying to get Joey. Joey, come on. Lie with me, but here's what Joseph did to make a long story short. I'm not going to be before you long. Don't you hate that? Somebody said, I'm not going to be before you long, and 2 hours later, I'm closing now. She kept saying, Joey, lie with me, lie with me. And Joseph was saying, listen, nobody in this place has more power than me. Than me. Your husband is the only one that's got more power than me. And what Joseph did, he gave God the glory. Not Potiphar. He gave God the glory for putting him where he was. But here we go. Haters will put you back down. She cooked up a plan. She started hollering and screaming, and the people came in, and he ran out of his coat. See, he ran. He tried to get me. He tried to seduce me, and he left his coat. I was calling y'all, but y'all was out in the backyard with Potty, and y'all just listen. You just missed him. His name is Joseph. Joseph did it. So now they gripped him up again, and they threw him into prison. Matter of fact, yeah, that's right. He's starting from the bottom again. There's this consistency. Joseph was consistent. He said, fine, I'm in prison. Yet though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You have to understand that things happen in your life for a reason. Sometimes Satan ain't got nothing to do with it, but God is testing you. Satan will tempt you, but God will test you. He asked, what the boy name is in the garden? Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? It was a rhetorical question. It wasn't, he knew geographically exactly where he was. He wanted to know where Adam's mindset was. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said nothing. Why are you hiding? Well, because I knew I was naked. Who told you was naked? See, God wants to know where you are. And so here's Joseph he went from the pit to the palace, back to the dungeon. So God is saying, Joseph, where are you? And Joseph was like, right here.
Wherever you want me, Lord, that's where I'll be. Because you, how many of you know that you can serve from anywhere? You can serve from anywhere. You don't have to be up to serve. You can be down and serve. My, you know what? Sometimes it's just, it's almost as if I want to say, I just want to wash some feet. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. It doesn't matter that I stand behind a pulpit because I'll preach from the, pony trail. You come on, somebody. I'll preach from 52nd Street. It don't matter to me that I have a pulpit to preach. I'll preach to anybody that'll listen to me. I'll tell them about Jesus. If they'll listen, I'll tell them. So it doesn't matter that I have on a robe. It doesn't matter that I have a title of Reverend Kevin Patton. That don't mean nothing as long as I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks get so hung up and all bent out of shape on titles and carrying on. They just lose it. They just you didn't speak to me in that. My name is Reverend Kevin, not Kevin. Don't you ever call me Kevin. How dare you call me Kevin? So now Joseph is in jail. But how many of you know that just like Judges chapter 11, when Jephthah said, you're going to need me before I need you. You're going to need me before I need you. And that's not bragging. That's just a fact that folks are going to have to call on you. You better be careful of who you put your mouth on. You better be careful of who you talk about. You better be careful of who you're hating, because that same person that you're hating on might have to give you your last glass of water. So now here's a man. Pharaoh had a dream, and all the bakers and chiefs and the butlers and everybody, they started lying so they could save their own hide. Amen. And they remembered that Joseph had interpreted dreams in jail. And Joseph said, listen, when you get out, just shout out a brother. You know what I'm saying? Just remember I'm here. Came to pass that nobody could do it but Joseph. And so now they called on Joseph finally. And Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And then Joseph's rise to power in verse 41, after he had been in the prison, after he had endured all of this stuff, after he had went, his brothers, first of all, threw him in a pit to kill him. And he was saved because praise saved his life. You understand what I'm saying? And then he went to the palace, and he's in the palace. Nobody knew what Pharaoh had except him. He was the man second in charge. He had the second chariot right behind Pharaoh, Potiphar. And everything was good, but then here come some more haters in the form of this fine woman named Potiphar's wife. Yeah. And now she tried to get Joseph to have sex with her, and she couldn't. So now she said she felt rejected and dejected and carried on. And so now she made up a plan to get Joseph out of there because he wouldn't do the thing with her. And so here it go again. He's starting from the bottom all over again. You understand what I'm saying? So now he interprets the dream, and now he's rising back up again because guess what? God was with him. No matter what happens in your life, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, if God be for you, who can be against you? So now verse 37 in chapter 41 says, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is in? See, that's what you have to maintain. You have to maintain your integrity. You have to, no matter what, listen, no matter what happens, you have not, you cannot. Some folks go to jail. Some brothers go to jail. And they go in Christian. And they come out Muslim with rug burns on their forehead just for protection purposes. I know what I'm talking about. Because Christianity is not acceptable in today's society. But being a Muslim is. And I ain't hating. It's not my job to hate. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to be a Christian in jail. I'm going to be a Christian out of jail. Praise God, I hope I do not go back. You got to understand what I'm talking about. I hope I do not go back to jail. But if circumstances deem that somebody messes with Jeremy, another rap song might come up, in bail, in jail without the bail. Amen. That's a different sermon. Amen. So now, verse 38, and said, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is none as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. If you don't say it, it ain't going to be done. If you say it, if they don't do it, off with their heads. He started from the bottom. Now he is. And then so I'm thinking about this. Okay, Kevin, bring it home. What else can you tell my people about starting from the bottom? Now he's up. Well, I thought about Jesus and how that Monday of Holy Week, he started from the bottom. And he went through trial after trial after trial. And Wednesday was a lull in the activity. Maundy, Thursday came around. And then on Good Friday, that's when he was really in the bottom. And that's when they chose to hang my Savior on the cross. And they had this cross on the ground. From the bottom, they had this cross and they nailed my Jesus to this cross. They nailed one hand into the side of the cross. And they popped his shoulder out of the socket to get the nail in that side. And they put his feet on top of the block so that they could nail his. All of this while he was on the bottom. And then he said something. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, it's all over. And so Jesus started from the bottom. Ah, Lord have mercy. Now he's up. They hung my Jesus on a cross. And I wasn't there, but they said he stayed there all Friday afternoon. And he stayed there all Friday night, Sister Latifah. Stayed there all day Saturday. And Deacon Tony stayed there all Saturday night. But when he started at the bottom on Friday, somebody said that he's up on Sunday. They went to look for him. They rolled the stone. The stone was already rolled away, and they went and looked in, and they saw his grave clothes just folded up neatly at the head of the grave. And the angels were sitting there saying he started from the bottom. Now he up. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? the men on the road to Emmaus was going and they were singing. He started from the bottom. Now we are. Jesus Christ started from the bottom. Now he's up. You may be feeling some kind of way today that circumstances and situations that surround your life is so pressing that you feel as though you're in the bottom. But the Word of God says that I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Although you started from the bottom, you can be up. Come on, give God some praise.